But you know, I can say this, I have never climbed the ladder of church success. I have never been a ladder climber in the kingdom. I've never tried to get anything. But the Lord has always done stuff in my life as I just left it to Him. I've tried to be faithful. And that's all I've tried to do, just be as faithful as I can. But I do attribute what little success the Lord has given me over the years to that lesson I learned back in 1983. I learned how to draw near to God with other tongues, how to be refreshed and strengthened spiritually, and how to get in touch with the leading of His Spirit. That's a vital lesson. If you're going to go on with God, you need to learn that lesson, how to get refreshed by Him and how to follow the leading of His Spirit. So, praise God. All right, how we doing on time? Doing good. Hallelujah. So that was the part on other tongues. I could have gone a lot more into other tongues, but that's all I wanted to get across, about how spending time praying in tongues. Paul said, I speak with tongues more than all of you. But he also said, I don't do it in public that much. You know, so when did he have to do it? In his private time. Praise God. Hallelujah. No more said about that. We're going to move on. I want to talk a little bit about learning to walk in love as part of being led by the Spirit. And you're really going to like this. Every time you start talking about the love of God, people go, oh, Lord. You know, because we start looking at our own self. Oh, man, I'm not so loving. But anyway, praise God. This is going to be good. You're going to like it. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. I told Jan 33, but it was actually Jeremiah 31. And verse 31, this is the prophet Jeremiah speaking way back there around the time that Israel was being taken off into Babylon, around that particular era. And Jeremiah 33, 31 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, by the way, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, and saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that we have a new covenant? Glory to God. Sometimes you don't stop and think about it. They didn't have what we have back in those days. So what covenant is he talking about? He's talking about the new covenant in the blood of Jesus, in which he forgives iniquity and remembers sin no more. God says to Israel, I will make a new covenant. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write my law, singular, by the way, in their hearts. What does the phrase inward parts mean? Remember our scripture verse, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. He's talking about their spirit. I'm going to put my law in their spirit, in their heart. And in the inward parts of the belly, the spirit. Now, that's what the Lord said. I'm going to put my law there. Now, the writer of Hebrews makes mention of this scripture. And I want to just read it quickly to make a connection. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 says, this is the covenant, referring back to that scripture in Jeremiah. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. That's Hebrews 10, 16, and 17. Now, I brought this verse up because the book of Hebrews is talking to who? Hebrews. Talking to Jewish people. And Jewish people understand the law, the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses. The Ten Commandments that were written on tables of stone and given to Moses on Mount Sinai way back when Israel had come out of Egypt. So what's he saying here? He's saying to Jewish people that you will no longer have commandments written on tables of stone or anywhere else. For that matter, they'll be written on the tables of your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here and just don't throw the tomatoes yet. Listen to both questions. Does this verse mean that we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore? Yes. Absolutely yes. But hold on, I got another question. Does it mean that it's all right to break the Ten Commandments? No, 1,000 times no. Look at John 13:14. This is Jesus speaking. John 13:34 says, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." You see, the church has one commandment. Now, hold on now. Hold them tomatoes. We're going to get somewhere with this. The church has one commandment, not 10, not 100, not 1,000. It is that love, that we love one another. As he has loved us, that we also love one another. Well, how does that eliminate the Ten Commandments? Oh, I got your wheels turning now, praise God. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 9. Paul the Apostle speaking says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet." These are the Ten Commandments he's talking about. "And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Every one of those commandments is inside that one commandment. In other words, all the commandments are covered in that one commandment. And it's interesting, I just noticed this as I was meditating on this, that the Ten Commandments did have the love commandment in it. Praise God. Did you ever notice that? The Ten Commandments had the love commandment in it. But Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment." Praise God. Well, why did they have all those other commandments if they had that love commandment in there? Because without the love of God dwelling inside of us, we cannot keep that commandment. And so they had to be governed by rules and regulations. They had to be brought under a schoolmaster of commandments. Well, why don't we just follow the rules and regulations like they did? Wouldn't we just be okay if we just taught the Ten Commandments and all of us did the Ten Commandments? Well, I had this little argument back in the early church, by the way. They struggled with that question. Pastor John brought it up a couple of weeks ago about the... I'll just read it in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. "Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." By golly. We want to convert you to Judaism here. "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Should we be circumcised and keep the law?" Well, they were hot about it too. To make a long story short, these men who wanted the Christians to keep the law were judged to be wrong. "The apostles at Jerusalem ruled that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God." That's don't trouble them with all this keep the law stuff. Praise God. Peter said in his discussion, now listen to this, when they were discussing, he says, "Why do you tempt the Lord to put a yoke upon the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" We couldn't do it. Why do you think they're going to be able to? You see, keeping the law was an exercise of the flesh. And the flesh was never able to keep the law. That's why God made a new covenant and wrote his law in our hearts. Praise God. Romans 13, verse 10. Romans 13:10. Again, Paul says this, "Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." If we walk in love, we fulfill the law. We don't have to think about it. Praise God. See, if we keep the commandment of love, we're not going to need to keep any commandment, because love is the fulfilling of the law. If we keep the love commandment, I won't bear false witness against you. I won't steal from you. I won't do anything wrong to you if I'm keeping the love commandment. I'm not going to do any of that. That law stuff, is I don't even need that because it's in my heart. You see, this love commandment is for the one who is a new creature in Christ under the new covenant. It's part of the new covenant. In the old covenant, they were to keep the law. In the new covenant, we're to keep the love commandment. I hope this sets some of us free from trying to do it, from trying to be righteous before God by our works. We ain't got that many good works. But anyway, praise God. That new creation man has a different kind of conscience than the unsaved person. A sinner's conscience will allow him to do about anything, but the conscience of the new creation man is not that way. If we do wrong, our heart will condemn us. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. If you do something wrong, you just kind of, oh boy, I shouldn't have done that. So here's a question. Why can we walk in love and the people of the old covenant couldn't? Well, I got those wheels turning now. Because God has put his law in our heart. How did he do that? By his Spirit. Let's go to the wonderful Romans 5:5. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What does shed abroad mean? It means poured out. Like you pour out a pitcher of something. The love of God has been poured out in our spirit by the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us. We have the love of God already in us because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Well, I don't feel very loving. Well, we can get there, praise God. See, we don't have to pray for God to put his love inside of us. Oh, God, just put your love inside of me and I'll be a better person. No, he's already done that. If you have the Spirit of God in you, the love of God has been poured out in your heart. So we don't have to pray for that. We already have it. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the love of God. All we need to do is come in line with it. Praise God. Remember, we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. We need to come in line with this and we'll be led by the Spirit. So how do we do that? Well, as we go through our lives, we're faced with various situations. We have to ask ourselves, what would love do? How will this thing I'm doing affect my fellow man? Will this hurt people or help or bless people? How will it help my brother? How will it do? What will it do? How will it impact my brother, my sister, and so forth? And then we listen to the voice of love inside of us. It's not automatic. We choose to walk in love. We choose to obey the love commandment. Or we can just go with the flesh, and the flesh doesn't really care much about that commandment. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Bible says that God is, well, it says he's Spirit. He says he's love, too. God is love. When we listen to the voice of love on the inside of us, the voice of the love of God within us, we're listening to the voice of God. How much more led by the Spirit of God can you be? Okay, let that one churn a little bit. So then, how does the love of God that's in us behave? What's the baseline? How do we know? We got so many ideas of what love is. What's love? You ask 10 people, you get 10 different answers. What is love? But if God expects us to walk in love, he's got to tell us what it is. And then what do? We take that and we ponder it and we meditate upon it until it becomes a part of us. Then we know and understand it. See, we renew our mind to it. And it's written in the famous 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, what we call the love chapter. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, the classic Amplified version, because it seems like it just is really clear. So this is God's definition of love. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, love endures long and is patient and kind. Just like us, praise God. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It does not rule, is not rude or unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us. Now, I'll hold for just a second and comment on that. The love of God is in our heart. We cannot walk in love from the flesh. Why? Because our flesh wants an eye for an eye. You do it to me, and by golly, I'll do it to you. I mean, you did it first, right? We can't do it by the flesh. You be ugly to me, I'll be ugly to you. That's the flesh. That's the way the flesh does it. We cannot walk in love from our head. Because the love of God is not shed abroad in our heads. We don't walk in love because of our great intellect. I'm just so smart. I'm going to do this. Praise God. I know how to do it. No, it's got to be from the heart. What we do with our mind is we get it renewed by the Word of God. Find out what love is from the Word of God. How love behaves and get our flesh crucified. See, we want to crucify our flesh because the flesh wants to do it a different way. And then we let our spirit man be the dominant force in our lives. Okay, just hang on. I'm going somewhere with this. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the second part says, God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Oh, boy. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That sounds really fleshly. No, it doesn't. Can you agree that if people behave this way, according to this description of love, it would be a different world we live in? I think so. Well, that's the world that you and I are supposed to be living in. And we get there by learning to yield to the love of God that's already inside of us. We develop a hearing ear for the voice of love. And very quickly, these other three verses, verse 6, it does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person, just like us. Now, we always seem to believe the worst. You hear about so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I knew he had something wrong with him. Praise God. See, its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. I don't care what generation you're in. Now, don't beat yourself up over this. Human beings don't normally behave this way. Did you know that? Human beings don't generally just behave that way. It's actually against our nature in a lot of ways. But as we meditate upon these verses and renew our mind, it would do us good to meditate on these four verses every day for a month. Open up your Bible, write down the first verse, and then write down what the Lord shows you about it. Do that every day for a month. Watch what happens. Now, as we meditate upon these verses, renew our mind to them, we'll be able to listen to what our spirit says in every situation. This is the conscience, and I use the word conscience because some folks say the conscience is the voice of the spirit. Well, everybody has a conscience, but can everybody trust that conscience to be their guide? You know, an unborn again person certainly cannot, because their conscience will do them a lot of things, but even a lot of born-again people can maybe ignore their conscience and get what's called a seared conscience. You know, you ignore it enough and it doesn't bother you anymore. But we've got a different kind of conscience than other folks. We know the very instant that we've done something wrong. How many know that? Everybody knows the very instant you did something wrong. Our heart will condemn us. In 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to read a couple of verses here just to nail this down. Hereby we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. Oh, we're still on the love commandment. That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Do we want to have confidence toward God? I do. Do we want to receive from him whatsoever we ask? Yes. How do we do that? By keeping his commandment, that we believe on Jesus and love one another as he gave commandment. Is this love commandment important? Yes. Possibly much more than we realize. Does this make us want to learn how to walk in love in our lives? It should. You know, I just want to tell you a story. When I was growing up, particularly when I was around high school age, bless my darling heart, I used to cuss. I mean, you know, everybody cussed back in those days. Come on now. At least the ones I was growing up with. It was normal to cuss. I guess they still do. People thought something was wrong with you if you didn't cuss. I mean, come on, really. Let's face it. Are you a goody two-shoes? No. Anyway, I could cuss with the best of them. How about you, Brother Eddie? Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Eddie. We all came from the same mold. Anyway, and I'm not proud of it, but it's just true. We were not a church-going family, you know. We ran with the worldly crowd, you know, and we were socially popular, you know, and we had a very well-liked rock band, you know, so that made you very popular. And we got good grades in school, and we dressed well, but we were just plain worldly. And I took that habit of cursing, that's Southern for cursing. I took that habit of cussing into my adult life. It was just normal to carry on with your coworkers that way. All of them cussed too, so. But when I got saved, when I gave my life to the Lord, I stopped cussing. I just knew in my heart it was wrong. Nobody had to tell me. My own heart told me. Now, I may not have been perfect at it. I may have slipped up every now and then, but every time I did, my heart would immediately, you know, let me know about it. Well, you shouldn't have done that, old man. And, you know, I always struggle, you know, if I had any problem, he'd let me know. My heart would let me know immediately. I know Christians today who use that kind of language, it doesn't seem to bother them. They're trying to emphasize a point, they'll throw in a wah, some kind of word you wouldn't use. And you think, okay, brother, I get what you're saying. But they don't think anything about it. You see, it's possible to ignore our spirit and becomes insensitive to our conscience. But you start trying to walk in love, meditating on your scripture, you'll get more sensitive. You'll get more sensitive to it. The more we meditate on the love verses we just read, the more sensitive we'll become to the voice of our spirit. You know, you'll say, you missed it. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. We'll catch ourselves being rude or unkind to someone, like a waitress or a bank teller. And our heart will condemn us and we'll apologize. We'll catch ourselves bragging on ourselves about something we've done and our heart will condemn us because love is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. We start doing that, you know, something on the inside. You shouldn't be going that direction. We'll tell just a tiny little bitty insignificant white lie and be condemned about it till we get it right. I've had it happen several times. You know, that's just a little, tiny little white lie, Lord. Okay. So we'll get it right. But somebody will give us too much money back in a transaction. You ever had that happen? We won't keep it. We won't let ourselves keep it. Not because we're such wonderful people, because we're not, but because our hearts are condemning us over it. You see, our heart is guiding us in the right way to go. You see, the love of God is poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit, and God's law is written in our heart. We're trying to do those things that please Him, and our conscience, the voice of our spirit, is leading us. We're learning to hear the voice of love, which is the voice of God. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise God. Y'all get anything out of that today? I mean, I heard you got very quiet, but I thought, well, praise God. They're just thinking about it. Amen. Say this after me. I am a child of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am growing in the knowledge of God. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God enlightens me through my spirit. All they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. I am a child of love. I believe on the name of Jesus. I do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I walk in the love of God because the love of God has been poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. God is love. I listen to the voice of love. I listen to the voice of God. I obey the love commandment. I walk in love. I have confidence toward God. Hallelujah. I obey the love commandment. Whatsoever I ask, I receive of Him. I have confidence toward God. Hallelujah. I receive of Him because I keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I am a child of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a little praise right now. Could we? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.